It is a football kind of weekend, and so I'm talking with Tom Park about college coaches, football coaches, and then the Jay Gaither home in the spotlight with the new owner, Cornelius Jones. What a fantastic Tallahassee story that is. Stay with me. You're going to love this.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Pedal liners, bed caps, toys to throw your money at. Car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms. Detail and diamond play, parts to fix your tailgate. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, lift kits for your mud needs. Mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must, come on out and visit us. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Good morning, my friend. We're glad you're with us again for this edition of Tallahassee Talks with your faithful host, Brian Cerny, bringing you holiday cheer and Christmas greetings, looking forward to the season at hand. Here we are, the first weekend in December, bristling we are with all sorts of fun stuff. Activities abound around the community. Not the least of which, the Winter Festival, which happens, I believe, this evening. People over there in Monticello at the Methodist Church, they've got their Gracie the Camel on their second night of their two-night living nativity. All kinds of neat stuff. Andrew Rybeck is here again with a list of things for you, so he'll be with me in just a minute, give you sort of the lowdown on activities. We have our own things we're doing, particularly related to Christmas connection. So Christmas connection, you know, probably you know, been around a long time. These are the folks who, in their way, and in, I should say, in their professional manner, because they are quite professional in their approach to bringing assistance, aid, encouragement, direction, education to those in need, particularly families that are struggling with low income or with other problems that related to that. We had Rick Miner here recently talking to us about the work that America's Second Harvest is doing. He's our representative there, the new CEO for America's Second Harvest of the Big Bend. And he made a very good point, you know, that if you're not taking care of some of those basic needs, a lot of them having to do with income and food and shelter, it's tough to get people moved out of some of these more associated, perhaps correlated problems, whether it's drug abuse or truancy or any kind of activity that keeps them out of a more productive life. I mean, they're just oppressed in that way. And without casting judgments there as to how that came about, the folks at Christmas Connection step in and say, look, we want to be a part of the solution. In fact, the social workers that work through this organization that is Catholic Charities of the Northwest District, Northwest Catholic Charities, they take a very decided approach, a very and you might even say clinical approach to those families they serve. And there's, I think this year, over 1,000, somewhere between 800 and 1,000 families every year. And that translates into a lot of people beyond that number who are either directly involved or affected by those families. And so we get involved trying to help them do what they do best. And so you've seen some of our annual advertising about town, billboards, and we've got some radio ads running, and we'll do some TV ads. It's in our coming edition of Tallahassee Family Magazine, which is about to hit the newsstands. Looking forward to that. I know you are. It's a very neat little publication. Christmas Connection being part of that whole effort there with the magazine. And Tallahassee Family Magazine having a prominent role in as one of the sponsors for this effort. And so that you understand, it's not a fundraiser. This is intended to bring to Tallahassee the message that Christmas Connection, unlike many other organizations, has a very specific, a very focused, a very timely mission. And there is this window of opportunity. And so our message in that is very simple. Let us all help Christmas Connection do what they do best. So when you see Help Christmas Connection, or you go to the website, helpchristmasconnection.com, you learn a whole lot about how they go about doing this work, how your involvement is critical. They have their headquarters set up now out there at the center of Tallahassee. The kind folks there have provided them a space as their seasonal headquarters. So you can go out there and make a donation. You can come by our studios here at Alcom Marketing, and we'll be happy to receive that and make sure that they get those donations that you have in mind. And of course, toys are always welcome for kids and teenagers, I should add. Clothing is a good thing. Food, yes, non-perishable food. And you can make cash donations. You can make a monetary gift to Christmas Connection and contact them easily enough. If you go to helpchristmasconnection.com, it'll direct you to Christmas Connection's website, and there you have an opportunity to contribute, to donate. So all of that is happening through the next several weeks. We hope that you'll be a part of it. And very simply, help bring the joy of Christmas a little closer to a family in need. Well, with that in mind, we have needs here too. We have a need to tell you that this broadcast, now in its coming up on the beginning, I guess you'd say, of the sixth season, we are close to it. We started 6 years ago, February of 2011. So as of February 2017, we begin our sixth season, talking with thousands of folks across this community who bring to us these remarkable stories. We think it's helping all of us better know who we are as a community. From politics to music to entertainment to art to festivals, social services, it's all part of what we are. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And so we will proceed with our good friend Andrew Rybeck, who has what you'll be doing this week.
Thanks, Brian. It's December, and I've officially set all my sights towards Christmas. So tonight, you can get into the spirit by taking a ride on the Polar Bear Express. That's right, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., you can hitch a ride and see winter and holiday scenes with special effects while listening to Christmas music along the way. It is said that there's going to be thousands of lights extended throughout the duration of the ride, so fill that mug up with some hot cocoa and let's get festive. The train departs from the Veterans Memorial Railroad with non-steam train rides going for $8 and coal-fired steam train rides going for $12. If you have a little one under the age of 2, they get to ride for free. However, I would suggest that you tag along with them. And if you can't make it tonight, don't fret. The train will be giving rides up until Christmas Eve. And for the full list of dates on when you can take a ride, visit VeteransMemorialRailroad.org. If you're still searching for more holiday fun, then you don't want to miss ice skating at the center of Tallahassee in the Brickyard. The rink is open on Fridays from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. and weekends from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Tickets are only $12 with skates, and if you have your own skates, then it's only $7. Sessions are set for 1 hour and 30 minutes, and each session starts on even number hours. They do offer group rates for parties of 10 or more, which sounds like a great time for you and all of the coworkers. And that's what you'll be doing this week. For Tallahassee Talks, I'm Andrew Rybeck.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Alonzo Smith Gaither, known as Jake Gaither, was born in 1903 and lived until 1994. And during his life, he established for himself and for this town a remarkable reputation as a head football coach at Florida A&M University. He coached 25 years. He amassed one of the best winning records of any college football coach during that time. He was born in Dayton, Tennessee, and his father, who was a preacher, taught his young son the good things about life and about being a good man. He expected his young son to also become a preacher. But when he graduated from Knoxville College, where he played football, Coach Gaither's father had passed about that time. And he became a high school football coach to help support his family. He then later completed his master's degree at Ohio State University, 1937. Jake Gaither is not only a well-known, nationally recognized figure in the world of college athletics, but we could easily say athletics at large. He contributed sizably to our community, particularly FAMU football, with a lot of innovative solutions. He instituted an annual coaching clinic at FAM in the late 50s and recruited major college coaches, including Bear Bryant, Frank Broyles, and Woody Hayes, to come and staff those clinics. He introduced in 1963 the split T formation, and it was soon adopted at other colleges. In 69, FAMU defeated the University of Tampa 34-28 in the South's first football game between a white college and a predominantly black college. He also coached basketball and track. He was phenomenal. And for those who know of his history, know of his contribution, it's very easy for us to recognize the value of preserving what was his home. And so the Jake Gaither home here in Tallahassee is a statement. It is, in fact, been recognized as an historic site and as part of Tallahassee's history and national history, football history. The Jake Gaither home is another shining example of what makes Tallahassee such a very special place. Well, fast forward a bit. you come to the 80s, and a lot of coaches have come and gone, and a lot of football players have come and gone. And a guy named Cornelius Jones walks on the field at FAMU, wanting to play football. No scholarship, just wanting to play. He ends up becoming a linebacker. Graduated in 94 from FAM. Got his degree in civil engineering. Created his own company. Bought some land. Began building as a contractor in 97. Started Omega Construction Company. And throughout his career, he has bought and sold property, providing for his wife and his four kids. He's got three boys and a daughter. Great Tallahassee story. Mm-hmm. Cornelius Jones. He's our guest this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Good morning.
You know, you're not playing football anymore.
No.
But sure as heck, I would not want you tackling me anytime soon. So I'm not going to be carrying a football around if you're in the room, I'm just saying, because it probably would spark some kind of, you know, instinct in you, especially if I start running, right?
You're
going
right.
to come
well,
after
not,
me.
Well, not now. I probably couldn't catch you.
Are you originally from Cleveland, Ohio?
Originally from Cleveland, Ohio,
and got
yes.
to Tallahassee
right.
to walk on.
Well, not even to play football.
No?
My father was like, either you go to school, you college, you go to work, go to the military, but you're going to have to get up out of this house. Hmm. So my high school coach kept all my mail, come to find out, because I didn't get any letters. And I got invited to the East-West game and wound up starting, and all the scouts were there, and they were like, you hadn't been recruited. I said, no. Come to find out, my high school coach kept all my mail. But anyway.
Why did he do that?
I have no idea. Just, you know, I said, I'm going to let the Lord deal with it. And
So you didn't know that you were being highly touted and being looked at by all these other schools?
Right. I had scholarships to Ashland, Edinburgh, little small schools like that. But like Ohio University, schools of that nature, I got recruited, but just never received the letter. You know, nowadays they have the internet and all that where you can do your own little advertisement. But then you had to depend on the high school coach to give you your mail. But forward past that, I decided to go to HBCU. Didn't want to go to Howard or schools up north. I wanted to kind of get away. And I chose, it was either between Grambling or Florida A&M. And it's a funny story. Grambling's application was 4 pages and FAM's was 2. So I filled out FAM's first. And I got accepted at FAM and never had to fill out Grambling's application. So I came here in 88 and went to school, civil engineering. At first, I just, you know, regular classes, the one-on-one classes that you take your freshman year. And then in the spring, I walked on the football team as an inside linebacker, and I also was pledging what you call hazing back then, you know, Omega Psi Phi fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
And
we don't talk about that much anymore.
Yeah, you know, but that's what
that's
it was.
The old days.
Old days. And so Coach Riley was a coach then, was not able to receive a scholarship in the fall for some, you know, to pay for books or what have you.
Mm.
So therefore, I put the football to the side and concentrated on my books, and I graduated in 94, and I was getting ready to pack up and go, and I bought a piece of land in 94, which was Shaker Heights apartment complex right there on the bottom of the hill on Wanish Way,
right,
where the city bought it,
yep.
turned it into a roundabout,
yep.
Family Way,
yep.
take it to Lake Bradford. So I sold that, got my license in 97, and just, you know, I have some other townhouses, bought and sold, and moved forward to about 2 years ago. You know, I got married in 2009 and have four kids.
Mm-hmm. You've been busy, man.
Yeah, been busy.
And so somewhere in your mind, this idea of buying the Jake Gaither home pops up. We're going to find out how that all came about, folks. I've got with me Cornelius Jones. He and his wife, Rashay, they now own the Jake Gaither Memorial House. We're going to learn more about that and how significant that is to our community. So stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
In the early autumn of 1621, a small group of surviving settlers gather to give thanks for their first successful harvest. They are joined by the local Wampanoag natives who have helped these settlers secure their survival. As a people, these pilgrims are guided by a strong faith in their Creator and regularly declare days of prayer and thanksgiving. But on this special day, not only are they grateful for the food God has provided in greater abundance, but also for these good friends, the Wampanoag natives, who themselves contribute to their feast with venison and enjoy the celebration of their newfound friendship. This Thanksgiving, may that same spirit of gratefulness for family, for friends, and a land of freedom be yours. From Dr. Eve James at Southern Smiles Family Dentistry in Quincy, call 875-3908. And Dr. Mignon at Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida, call 656-2006. And by Volcar Automotive Service in Tallahassee, call 942-4980.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The Gaither House, as it is now known, was the home of Jake Gaither from 1954 until his death in 1994. He shared the home with his wife, Sadie, who was a longtime FAMU English professor. After it left their hands, it fell on hard times. And when Cornelius Jones discovered this home here a couple of years ago, he found it in a pretty sad state, didn't you?
Yes, yes.
And you found out about the sale of this home not knowing that this was Jake Gaither's home.
Right. I had no idea that it was Jake Gaither's home. Actually, on a piece of property on the same street. So this was going up on auction, tax deed sale the next day. So I had been to a couple of tax deed sales in the past couple of months, and I knew that this house was all brick, and I said $35,000 the back taxes due on it. So I said, let me go by and check it out first. And so the family, I guess, was outside to call the city to try and stop them from putting it on the tax deed sale the next day. So I said, hey, I'm interested in the house, and they said a gentleman was supposed to buy it. And I said, do you mind if I go in? I walked in, and it was trash. It was like a drug house where they just, people just at nighttime and just like zombies, I guess, because it was closed. They piled trash in one room until it was full of trash, and then they went to the other room until they filled up the whole house with trash. So I was kind of scared to walk one way because I knew it had to be some rats or something in the house. And I walked the other way where there was a clear path a little bit, some kind of path. Through the kitchen, and then there was a back room, and I said, man, there's some pictures on the wall. I said, this is Jake Gaither's house. I saw pictures of Coach Lang and all of the teams, 69, 68, 67, of Jake Gaither's, and I saw a mobile, agile, and hostile slogan, and the Rattler room, and so I said, man, this is Jake Gaither's house. So I left. I was on my lunch break, and I went back outside and told him I was interested in the house. Not saying that, hey, this is Jake Gaither's house. I just said I'm interested. And so they said, well, Mr. Jones, if this gentleman doesn't come through, we'll give you a call. So I called about 8 o'clock, and they said, well, Mr. Jones, it's yours. So I went to the bank at 7:30 before they opened, waited in the parking lot to get a cashier's check to pay them. And they deeded it over to me. It took about 2 months to get all that stuff out the And his nephew actually was the one living in the house and kind of just got into bad times and just let the house go. So I had a lot of the memorabilia and stuff was still in the house.
Wow.
And so I said, you got till Friday to get this stuff out of there. So he took all the stuff to storage, and about 2 months after I finished getting everything together,
it was a mess.
Ready to put stuff back on the walls.
Remember you telling me there was holes in the ceiling and this kind of stuff.
And the raccoon, I think the raccoons had a nest and took the sheetrock out, and a big pile of feces just fell on the floor. So about 2 months later, I said, I'm finished with the house, and I need to get the stuff out of the storage so I can put it back on the wall. Like, I promise you, I'm going to restore your uncle's house and turn it into a museum. And he said, well, the storage people are getting ready to auction everything off. So I had to go and give him another $1,000 and deeded storage over to me. And then I put the stuff back on the wall. I still got boxes and stuff at the house. I've got letters from the White House in 69 from President Nixon.
Wow.
To Jake Gaither. I've got letters from where he did the Toastmaster for Bear Bryant, where Bear Bryant says, hey, I got to get one of those black boys to catch those other black boys. He got that statement. And just to know about Jake Gaither doing segregation, for him to be in talks. I've got pictures with him with all the governors from 47 to 60 to 74, actually. Graham, Askew.
All of them.
Leroy Collins. You know, and I'm from Ohio, so I don't even know
who these
guys. Leroy Collins. I know who they are now.
Yeah, right.
But the fact that he was able to communicate with people of that nature during segregation, you know, says a lot about Jake Gaither. So,
yeah.
And the fact that he did coaching clinics with Bear Bryant and all that, it was just amazing to me. All that. So anyway, I just moved forward, and I turned it into a blood, sweat, and tears, where that I could join the School of Business and the athletic department to raise money. So, because these students don't know who Jake Gaither is.
Yeah.
And so they could have the importance of what school they go to and know the importance of what Jake Gaither meant.
Which, by the way, and we talked about this in the beginning of our conversation here, his accomplishments as a coach,
right.
Formidable. 6 black college national football championships.
Right.
Wow. One of the winningest coaches in our history.
You know, we started an annual golf tournament this past year, and it went pretty well, but we look forward to starting in January to raise more money. You know, Coach Caldwell, the Detroit Lions coach, donated $10,000. Martin Mayhew, you know, he's my fraternity brother, but he went to Florida State, played for the Washington Redskins, was the GM of the Detroit Lions. He sent $5,000 and, you know, tried to get Florida A&M on board, but I know they have issues of their own, so I didn't want to kind of get
involved
in the middle of that. But now athletic director Overton has been very helpful, and Coach Woods, so we're moving forward, and I think we're going to be able to put this together, because this is something that Florida A&M and the community of Tallahassee needs to have to showcase.
I mean, and it seems as though not only is that connected with people locally, you've been able to garner some national attention for this thing. Now you've got this marker in front of the house that identifies the home, right?
Right.
And talk about how that all, because you got nominated to be on the National Register.
And it's been
approved.
It's been approved as of May the 18th. So
wow.
Now I should be able to, you know, get federal dollars, grants to, thanks to Representative Alan Williams, the former Representative Alan Williams. I was, the state gave $100,000 for the house, for the Jake Gaither House. So now I'm in the process of using that money to make it ADA compliance, putting fire suppression systems in, and security systems, and all of that nature.
In case, folks, you're just getting hold of this story and you want to dig in a little further on this Jake Gaither home, there is a website, jakegaitherhouse.org, and you can learn a lot there. They've done a great job in giving us the backstory, some of the history there. There's this great photo of Jake Gaither. Well, there's a lot of photos in there, but Jake Gaither with Reuben Askew. He was, as you pointed out, he was a bridge, wasn't he? He was the kind of person who could reach out to legislators and governors.
Right.
He reached out to the white community. He reached out to the black community. He brought people together.
Correct. He was kind of like the spokesperson for the black community in a way, and the white community would come to him to kind of bridge the gap. Because I think Tallahassee is not that kind of town where you see all the divides you see everywhere else.
Right.
Tallahassee, to me, is kind of different. It's a different vibe than what you see on the news and everything. I mean, people are very nice, both black and white. And now, you got all different ethnicities. You know, all different types of people that are in Tallahassee now with the both schools here. And some people stay here, so it's a different mixture than what it is nationwide.
So from your perspective, as you've experienced Tallahassee, and you've been here a long time now.
Yes.
I mean, going back into the mid-80s there, upon your arrival and have stayed and been in business, and now you have this heartfelt project, you think that Tallahassee for the black community and white community isn't as contentious? Is that what you'd say? How do you experience it, I guess?
Well, I experience that they are, you know, I'm getting it out there a little bit more about the Jake Gaither House. I just need to be able to raise the funds in order to have somebody to be there in the house with me working with kids and all that. It's kind of hard. So we're going to raise the money, and I didn't want to be out there where you're kind of out there begging in a way, but this is a definitely need. So I'm just taking a slow approach because I don't want to go down the road and have to turn back around and go.
I noticed you did this awards dinner back in November.
Right.
How did that go for you? It was a neat little fundraiser.
Man, that was we had Andre White. He was he's in the Hall of Fame at Florida A&M, played for the Denver Broncos. He was Marvin Gaye's manager. And James Brown's manager, he came and spoke, man, and did a lovely job. And the president, Robinson, Larry Robinson, was there, the athletic director. It was about 100 people, but next year we hope to have 200, 250
bigger
people.
Bigger and bigger.
Yes. I mean, for the first event, it was lovely.
Folks, we're talking with this very interesting man, Cornelius Jones, a transplant from Cleveland, Ohio, who made his home in Tallahassee back in the mid-'80s. Played football for FAM, built a business, grew his family, finds himself presented with an opportunity to acquire a home, which turns out to be the home of Jake Gaither, legendary football coach. We're learning a lot about this man and about Tallahassee in the process. You stay with me, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and we're talking with Cornelius Jones, FAMU football player, businessman, licensed building contractor since 97, Omega Construction Company he started. He and his wife, four kids, just getting it done, right?
Yeah.
Tallahassee,
no choice.
A Tallahassee man, Tallahassee, a real Tallahassee story. So here he has the Jake Gaither House. Oh, boy. And it's sort of a good news, bad news, because you know, now he's got it. He's put a lot of money into it to get it fixed up. They're finally acknowledged by having been placed on the National Historic Registry. That just happened here a few months back. And then something called Hurricane Hermine walks through town and had its sights set on this historic home. And I guess the morning after, you went down to see what happened.
Right. I guess me and my little three-year-old son, you know, I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, listening to the weather.
Yeah, like
and
the rest of us.
About 4 o'clock, and my wife said, no, don't get up. It's still dark. So I was, you know, waited till 6 o'clock. My son got in the car, and next thing I know, when I get down to Thomasville, I get a text from my next-door neighbor to the Jake Gaither House sending me a picture of this big tree.
Ouch.
And I was driving, so I said I'd be there in 30 minutes. I get there, man, there was a big 100-foot water oak tree that fell from the back, which was probably 75 feet away from the house. It fell from the back all the way to the front of the house, damaged the roof, the inside, the floor. But luckily, if the tree fell in the best place it could fall, because it did not damage any of the memorabilia.
Wow.
In the one room, all the pictures and everything was still on the wall. Just messed up that middle room, and the middle room is where the food is placed, you know, because we rent it out for events like wedding receptions and stuff of that nature for a small group. And like we're having Christmas parties during the winter. And so anyway, the tree comes through, and I get strictly on the phone to call a tree company. Luckily, I Google a tree company. AAA Tree Service is who I was calling, but some other tree service came and I said, man, I got to get this tree out of here. I deal with the insurance later. I got the money to pay for it. So they came and started getting the tree out. And at 11 o'clock when they were still working on the tree, I said, what made y'all come to me first? And they said, well, you said you had the money and you wasn't worried about the insurance, so we came to you first because they were coming from Pensacola.
Wow.
They had just got off I-10, so it was the Lord's will to,
yeah,
for them, because that was like 10 people ahead of me.
Wow.
So they came, and then Julie Montanaro came by and took pictures, and we had that roof done. That was Labor Day weekend. We had the roof and everything done
now,
by Tuesday.
How did she find out about the damage? Did you
I contacted her, yes. And so we had the roof done by Tuesday. We were done within 2 weeks, and then the insurance company, of course, came that day, Friday, and cut me a check to take care of the expenses, but I'm still dealing with that now to try and recoup some more money, because the $35,000 was not going to take care of all that damage. And then with a hurricane, find out you got to pay 2% deductible, which if it hadn't been a hurricane, you wouldn't only had to pay probably maybe $500 or $1,000. But since it's a hurricane, 2%, they take out $6,000. So, but hey, we roll with the punches, and so you know, we survived that, and we got everything finished and in the same condition that it was. Luckily, the insulation fell on the ground and saved the wood floors.
Wow.
But that was just the grace of God, man.
Could have been a lot worse.
Oh, no question.
I think a number of us have said that storm
did a lot more damage than what we expected.
Could have been a lot worse.
Yes.
Sure enough. It was tough.
Yes.
Yeah, it was tough, and I think it was more than we expected. But then when you start looking back and go, well, man, if it had gone that way.
Yeah.
From that point going to now,
mm-hmm.
right? So you've had all of this recovery effort.
Right.
And are you planning other fundraisers in the months ahead, or how else can the community help you in with the finances?
Well, what they can log on to the website jakegaithahouse.org, and on there I'm doing a brick campaign where you can purchase bricks, and we're gonna, you know, I'm making a walkway for the bricks. My objective, I want to redo the whole driveway with bricks and everything, but we're doing a brick campaign to raise money, and I'm going to try to get with Coach Caldwell, Martin Mayhew, those coaches in the NFL. I got with Tony Dungy's lawyer, called me about 2 weeks ago, the day after the banquet, to try and set up an annual golf clinic. I mean, not a golf clinic, but a coaching clinic, just like Jay Gaither had, and just something small in the spring during the spring game, and then the annual golf tournament 5K run.
Oh, that's cool.
So we did a 5K run this past, that Saturday, the last home game, and we had about 40, 50 people, but I know we can get at least 250, 300 people from Tallahassee to come and support.
When you think about the contribution that Jake Gaither made to this community and to college football, now here you are making contribution to the memory of what he did. The house for you is more than just a house, isn't it?
Oh, man, it is. I put so much work in it, and my son, he's graduating this year. He learned so much about Coach Gaither and what he meant, and I've got all his speeches, what he writes from. You know, and knowing his father was a preacher, you could tell in all of his speeches. I mean, hell, he kind of motivated me to, I tell the coach, I got 3 more years of eligibility. Let me go back out and play. But he was a motivational speaker.
It's not too late, Cornelius. Come on, man.
It's too late. But see, the body is all broke up. But he was such a motivator that, you know, and one thing that touched me, he was a guest speaker at Crimson Tide, Alabama in 1970. I was born in 70. And so coming from Cleveland, my mother was from Alabama. We would go to Alabama every summer, but I couldn't go to the stores when I was little because of the racism and stuff. So I was about 8 or 9. They allowed me to go to the store, and I think a guy shot the bird at me. So I said, oh, that's why I can't go to the store. But to see Jake Gaither, the guest speaker in 1970 in Alabama, Crimson Tide, that is unbelievable.
Big time.
That's big time.
Yeah,
and so I'm went to the American Coaching Football Clinic up in St. Louis about 2 years ago, man, and all Schellenberger, his wife was like, look, I've got pictures with Frank Howard. You know, he started the Rock in Clemson. I mean, all of those coaches, the coaches that are living now that were up there, they couldn't believe, and they have actually helped to contribute and buy bricks. Mm-hmm. Some of those coaches up there, mm-hmm. Coach Schellenberger is willing to come and help mm-hmm. to speak. I mean, George Tief. All those coaches were amazed, and so I plan on going again in January. I missed it last year in San Antonio.
Cornelius Jones is our guest. This young man who had a vision, took opportunity to bring this historic home, the home of Jake Gaither, to a place where we can now look back and recognize not only the contribution he made as a football coach, but the contribution he made as a man and as a person who brought people together. And at a time when our community, our nation needs more of that, this is a great rallying point, isn't it, Cornelius?
Yes, yes.
So let's remember this. And, folks, I encourage you to participate. Get involved by going to their website. It's a very simple address, jakegaitherhouse.org.
Correct.
Correct? Folks, a great Tallahassee story. Cornelius, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
You stay with me, folks. We've got more coming up after the top of the hour. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Trucking Hard Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Trucking Hard Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Tailgating starts here at Truck and Car Concepts. Get your free tailgate pong game with your purchase of any item, $500 or more. A free tailgate pong game for your next tailgating party.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate pong game this week with any purchase of $500 or more at Truck and Car Concepts across from Kraft Nissan on Mahan Drive.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are. We're back with the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on this lovely, chilly December weekend, beginning, sort of officially kicking off, right, the whole Christmas season as it is, and lots of fun activities all around town. Winter Festival, Festival of Lights, City of Tallahassee. Thank you, folks, for all that hard work. In years past, we've been able to participate in that grand parade. I still have scars from those, right, Carl? I mean, oh my goodness, the work that you'd put into creating your parade entry. It is an undertaking. It'd be great if you had a staff of 30 or 40 people, but you know, we always try to get by with three or four. But these days, I just don't have the time. We got so much going on. We got the Christmas Connection promotion we're doing. Help us help Christmas Connection. Go to helpchristmasconnection.com and learn all about what we're doing there to help the good people who make this possible, who do the work. The Christmas Connection in Tallahassee is probably one of the most beloved charities that we foster here. We all participate in. And it's not just giving toys, it's giving hope. It's showing a little joy. It's bringing a little comfort and aid during a time of year when need is felt even more dramatically, perhaps, more deeply. And we want to say to those families, the kids, hey, you know what? You're one of us. You belong here. We want to encourage you. And the folks with Christmas Connection, operated by Catholic Charities, they'd actually continue that work throughout the year because they're involved with these families, helping them improve their lot through various means, education, counseling, all kinds of effort to make sure that this is not a family that is entrenched in an impoverished status. So it's worthwhile, and it's something that charity bids us do. All right. So if at no other time during the year, certainly at Christmas time, you know, we are, not to get too poetic with you, but I think we are kindled, we are encouraged to give generously to one another. And of course, that isn't necessarily material. But after all, if there's no food in the house and there's no heat, yeah, that's probably a basic need we ought to go ahead and try to take care of. And that's what Christmas Connection does, along with some of the softer sides, the joy that comes with some little kid getting a toy or a teenager with a bike or some clothing. It's worthwhile. So learn more about that. HelpChristmasConnection.com. Tallahassee Family Magazine is our title sponsor this year, and you'll see that publication hitting the newsstands shortly, probably within the next 2 weeks. So that's good timing. What else is going on? Well, you know what? We're glad to have in this hour. We've spent the day here talking about athletics, curiously enough. The Jake Gaither House. We had talked about the Jake Gaither House and its significance in the first hour. And now I'm going to bring to you Dr. Tom Park. He's with the organization called the Game Breakers. Now, these guys are expert in the whole business of coach and AD career advocacy, all right? So they basically work with coaches and athletic directors here and around the country, providing professional counsel in that and contract negotiation and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, Tom's going to be here. We're going to talk at length about his work and how, being that we are a sports town, Florida State University particularly, and FAMU, and TCC, all of them have pretty significant athletic programs. There's been a lot of talk lately about Jimbo Fisher and whether he'll stay, whether he'll go, and so forth. Well, Tom's got some insight on that whole topic, so we're going to find out what he knows. That'll be good, right? Here's some other announcements for you. Speaking of TCC, along with FAM and FSU, TCC announced a significant investment in the college's entrepreneurship initiative. This is cool. The credit union, that would be First Commerce, committed $300,000 over a five-year period to support TCC Spark. What is Spark? Well, Spark is a program that offers credit and non-credit training along with mentorship and other opportunities to bolster the success of budding entrepreneurs and small business owners. Well, yeah. Maybe I ought to apply for that. Be good. Learn what I'm doing wrong here. Maybe not enough time for that. But nonetheless, here's another neat thing. Ah, yes, our friends at Merry Maids. Do you know about this? If you buy a Merry Maids gift card during this Christmas season and you give to your friends and your family what they really want this year, which is time to relax and enjoy the holidays, well, you do that when you buy a gift card from Merry Maids. Cool idea. I know my wife would appreciate this. I mean, this is maybe something I could wrap and put under the tree. Here, honey. Anyway, you get this gift card, and then the Merry Maids team of trusted and trained professionals will be at your home and care for it as if it were their very own. And they don't overlook any detail. They're thorough and they're consistent. I mean, from dusting and washing floors and emptying trash, vacuuming, all that stuff. Well, you can get them a gift card. Merry Maids. They'll take care of your loved ones with that idea. That's pretty cool. I'm certainly not going to clean my house. So, yeah. So I get them to do it. Here's another note, by the way, I forgot to include this. TCC, again, with Workforce Development Division, is kicking off their commercial vehicle driving program. This is a public service announcement. So if you want to learn how to drive commercially, you want to get licensed as a commercial driver, this is an 8-week program. It runs Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, at TCC's Transportation and Logistics Center of Excellence on Apple Yard Drive. Tuition is about $2,400. Let's see, when does this whole thing kick off? Starts on Monday, December 5th. Well, that's this coming Monday. And you better hustle if you want to get involved in that. You can go to TC, let's see, what's the web address? Okay, go to TCC.com. That's the web address. There's an application there. Certificate application, yeah. Apply to TCC, and you go to www.gotoTCC.com. Got that? All right. Well, those are all my announcements. We've got Tom Park coming here just shortly. If you have missed any episode that you regret, you can always check us out online at TallahasseeTalks.com. Subscribe to the podcast. You can listen to any of the archived shows that we have. All you do is search on the name you're looking for, and it'll bring it up there for you. Be sure to stop by and thank our sponsors one of these days, because you know what? They make it all possible. People like Truck and Car Concepts, Wooden Glass, they're all there for you, doing what they do to make your life a little better. Stay with me. We got more coming up.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
So Dr. Tom Park is our guest, and he is in league with a guy named Marty Greenberg, Martin J. Greenberg. Their company is called the Game Breakers. So that's, I'm getting all the particulars out of the way here, Tom, so we can go on.
Yes.
But let me introduce to you Tom Park. How are you, sir?
Brian, wonderful to be here with you.
Again.
It's always a delight.
We love having you because we get to talk about stuff we don't know anything about that you seem to know a lot about. And you certainly have spent a number of years learning and experiencing. Mm-hmm. And it brings to us all kinds of curiosity. I mean, it's the back room sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's what goes on when you're working with a coach, let's say, and negotiating on a contract with an organization. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's just one slice.
Sure.
But that's the stuff that makes movies, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, you said it.
It's like Draft Day with Kevin Costner, right? But, I love that movie.
football is a cultural phenomenon in the South. And, of course, I spent half my life in the North and the second half in the South here in Tallahassee. And I think I figured out one time I played or coached a football game in 25 states. So football is a big part of America. And it's a cultural phenomena. And in the South, it's huge. Now, it's important in the North and the Midwest. If you look at historically, it's different in the Pac-10. Every part of the United States is a little bit different. And I consider myself an East Coast guy, meaning east of the Mississippi.
Okay.
But here in Tallahassee, it's huge. And, of course, Florida State's huge.
Yeah, it's big business. You know, the folks who and even our beloved Coach Bowden used to say, hey, it's a dadgum football game. Well, Coach, that's a nice thing to say. But if you hadn't noticed, folks, and well, Tom, you tell me, but it seems to me over the last couple of decades, maybe more so, especially for major universities,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's still vestiges of the more romantic aspects of college football out mm-hmm. there across mm-hmm. the country.
Mm-hmm.
But for places like Florida State University, it's big business.
It is indeed. And, you know, it was one of Coach Bowden's mentors, Bear Bryant, that said, well, you can't rally around a math class. Okay. And so football became a rallying point for universities. And if we go back in my lifetime, I'm 70, and I started playing in 1958 when I was 12. So I've been at this a long, long time in different capacities. And if you go back, the advent of television in the 60s and sports television was when the money started to get bigger. And if you look at sport, Brian, through 3,000 years of world history, there are seven defining characteristics that define and describe the difference between modern sport and historical sport. Mm. And the eighth one of those trends is the monetization of modern sport. That began in the 60s. Television had a lot to do with it. We started to see the executives of it, the head coaches, the directorships, the GMs, start to make more and more money. And, of course, the players in the NFL, the NBA, pro golf, pro baseball, they started to make more and more money, and television played a big role in that.
And for the university particularly, it means big money because those TV networks, right?
Sure.
They're
sure.
going to pay for the broadcast rights.
Right.
And talk about that a bit, how that aspect of it works, because here we're sitting in December. Would it be fair to say that discussions of 2017 and even 2018 and further are in play now?
Well, there's
or is it that far out?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, football schedules at the Division I-A level, and understand there are hundreds of college football teams in the United States.
Yeah.
When you go D1A, 1AA, 2, and that's been consolidated into the bowl championship series in the FBS, and then you go Division II, Division III, NAIA, and then you've got junior colleges. You've got a couple hundred junior colleges
wow.
that play football,
wow.
many in California, Texas, Kansas, Mississippi. So there's a lot of college football in the United States, but there's, I think it's 128 or D1A teams, and the Power Five conferences are what I call the haves, and then there are the have-nots. Now, and that has to do with money. And so you're looking at schedules that go out many years. You're looking at, if you remember, Brian, about 10 years ago, we went through conference consolidation.
Right.
And each of those conferences grew in size. The ACC, when I was in it at Maryland in the 70s, we had 8 teams. Now we've got, 2 divisions. And so you've got a playoff. The playoff represents television. The television represents advertising. The advertising represents millions of dollars. And each of those conferences was coveted by those Power Five teams to get in so they could get those revenue splits from the other teams. So if out of a dozen teams, 8 of them go to bowl games, you've got 28 bowl games today? 56 of your 128 go to bowl games, get another few millions of dollars from that, then there's a revenue split amongst the conference. So alignment with the power conference is very important from a business perspective. I can remember in 2005, I explained to my chancellor at university, at Liberty University, where I was athletic director, to Dr. Jerry Falwell, I said to him, you have to understand a Division I-A school in that year had an average expense of $32 million to run football and revenues of $28. So a $4 million shortfall, it was made up by people in this town like the Seminole Boosters.
Mm.
Now, Florida State's finances are bigger and better than that, but that was the average Division I-A
wow.
team. It is big business.
Big business.
A lot of money involved.
Yeah, and that money then translates into a lot of the funding mm-hmm. that these universities then have available to them for, if they are successful, mm-hmm. they're able to use those dollars with other programs, academic infrastructure, facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at Florida State University, Mm-hmm. I mean, and I've been here 35 years. Mm-hmm. Man, it doesn't look the way it used to.
No.
And with the arrival of Coach Bowden and the dawning of Florida State football as a major contender, having won a couple of national championships, right? We're the real deal, I guess you'd say.
Well, I think, Brian, we are. And of course, if you live in this town and you like football, you can't help but identify with Florida State. And of course, we all know that the rivalry with Florida, which has historically been a great institution in the SEC, Florida State has gradually crept up, and of course they won this year, and every year it's a big game.
Yeah.
But that rivalry is very special in Florida, just like in South Carolina. It's Clemson, South Carolina is a big rivalry. Just like up north, it's Army-Navy, it's Penn State-Pitt, it's Oklahoma-Oklahoma State. I mean, this is America.
Yeah.
This
is America. A lot of tradition, of involvement. Folks, we're talking with Dr. Tom Park. He is with the Game Breakers, talking Florida State football, football at large, and professional sports. We'll continue with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
October 3rd, 1863. Our nation is torn in the midst of civil war. Over 100,000 lives have been lost. Faced with the uncertainty of our survival as a nation, President Lincoln declares his faith in God, issuing a proclamation.
I invite my fellow citizens with humble penitence to fervently implore the Almighty to heal the wounds of our nation to the full enjoyment of peace, tranquility, and union.
He recalls the blessings and mercies of God in spite of our disobedience and officially declares the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise. This Thanksgiving, may we find that same gratefulness in our hearts in the midst of adversity and join together in prayer for our nation, giving thanks for our family, friends, and a land of freedom. Happy Thanksgiving from all of us at Alcom.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're talking with Tom Park here. People who play at this remarkable level of athletics. And, of course, the money that is there to capitalize on that performance.
Well, I think that in football, there are over a million players a year in the United States at different levels.
Collegiate, professional, both?
Everything. Yeah. And it's well over a million because every year I've seen different statistics. There are between 300,000 and 400,000. I've seen different numbers of people that hold themselves out to be football coaches. And so let's just say it's 400,000. So you've got a couple thousand that are NFL. You've got 12,000 that are members of the American Football Coaches Association of your 1,000 or so schools that play college football, including junior colleges.
Yeah.
You've got 128 Division I-A schools, which are your premier programs, of which Florida State is one of the Power Five, the top 66 teams. So that food chain, that hierarchy of talent, if you will, you have literally millions of young men every year that are in the game as competitors that aspire to be as good as they can be and are going to end up through that process at some level. Now, in my case, I got to play 11 seasons at two universities in the military and a year as semi-pro. And then I ran out. I wasn't good enough to play anymore, you know, and everybody runs out at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And you go back to what you were saying, the Division III model, which is student athletes. It's it's played because you're getting an education, you're a student. There's a lot said about professionalism. The question that always comes up is, should we pay the student athlete? I mean, I don't know if you want to go there or not, but that one always comes up, and that's at the very top of the food chain. And the answer is real simple. If the NCAA and the NAIA suggested that we had to pay the student athlete, 90% of the programs would be broke because they couldn't afford to do it. So the reality is there's but a handful that would even be capable of considering it. And in my judgment, Brian, it would so distort what we cling to as the values of the game and the sport and what it teaches you as a part of your education, even at the highest levels, those educational components are still there. And they're extremely important. And men that play this game will talk about it for the rest of their lives.
Uh-huh.
And it's very important.
It's very important.
And they take a lot from it. And coaches are the high priests of Western industrial society in that sense. And I've had coaches say, we are? And I'd say, well, you got to think about it a little
bit.
Think about it a little
bit. They are certainly the high priests. They are the generals of a gridiron, you know, the people who are able to demonstrate for us, whether it's on a court or a field, what it means to lead a group of people into battle,
and how you
chart that course, how you make those calls, and they are in the life of the game.
Yep.
They are life and death.
Yep.
Man, there's so much to talk about here. I want to give courtesy to your partner here, Marty.
Oh yeah.
Tell us about Marty. How did the two of you knuckleheads get together?
That's a great story. In 1988, when I had a career at Dean Witter in the financial services industry, I had a number of coaches as clients, and one of them said to me, "Can you help me with my contract?" And this was a Division II coach that I played with in college and at Tangerine Bowl in '67. And I said, well, I don't know much about that. So I went out and I went through over 8 years of trying to help coaches with their contracts because you need to have contract law expertise. I went through six different lawyers before I finally, in teaching sport law, met Marty Greenberg on the phone. I called him and I said, sir, I've read your stuff. It's terrific. You obviously understand the game, the context, and all of this. I said, would you work with me? And he said, I've read your stuff. I think a lot of what you write. And we met that way on the phone and then did deals in seven different conferences for some big-name coaches.
Very cool.
So Marty is a world-class coaches, contract, lawyer, scholar, educator.
Mm.
He's a very special man in Milwaukee.
And the kind of work that you do mostly now involves those negotiations related to coaching contracts? Is that where you spend most of your time?
Well, you know, I have three different businesses, Brian, because, and this gets back to what you and I were talking about earlier, there's one particular, or actually two particular coaches agencies that are at the top of the food chain. And he's well known, Jimmy Sexton, you know, who has people like Nick Saban and some of the very big people.
Yeah.
We have Division II coaches, Division III coaches. We have a couple of big names. And so you can't make a full-time living out of doing this, generally.
Mm.
And so Marty has a thriving law practice. So we have 18 retained football coach clients. We try to help them with various elements of their careers and business and life that centers around coaching. And then when they get an opportunity to move, I play the role of advocate. I will recommend people, try to give them strategies and tactics for improving maybe from job A to a better job B.
Mm-hmm.
And then when somebody makes them an offer, Marty in particular, will review that contract, we'll negotiate that contract, and then we get compensated just like an NFL player agent, 3 points on the contract balance.
And in providing those services, why is that so critical to the coach? I mean, why can't he call his own deal?
Well, that's a great question, and it's because the profession of coaching has become so much of a business, and because universities now, for example, I always ask the question to the coach, well, are they going to give us their contract template, or are we going to provide it? Well, if they provide it, you're going to find things in there that you don't want.
Mm.
For example, it's very important to differentiate termination for cause and termination not for cause. Mm. And termination for cause means that you did something wrong. Termination not for cause means you just didn't win enough. So we're going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, well, if that happens, what is the severance? What is the settlement? What do you get? Okay,
mm-hmm.
All of that. If you would, with all due respect to universities, if you were to allow that to be up to the university, their vested interest is to take care of the money side of it for them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, the coach, if he doesn't have somebody helping him, coaches are people that are taught to trust and obey.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the faith. You trust and obey, okay?
Yeah.
And coaches are guys that grow up telling people to do things and players do it. And generally, when they're told to do something, they do it. And so somebody's got to say, wait a minute, coach, that's not in you and your family's best interest.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, maybe we want a rollover provision in that contract. So you've always got a rolling 3-year deal. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to ask for it. And as they say, Hollywood stars and have agents, because agents can say things, and do things for and about a client that the client may not and should not do for himself.
I got you.
And so that's why agents are important, and coaches should have them.
When you look at the work that a group like IMG does, mm-hmm. right,
mm-hmm.
those folks are in the business of representing the university at large, right?
Many times,
so
yes.
So their yes. job is to protect and advance and mm-hmm. And monetize
mm-hmm.
all
mm-hmm.
of the rights
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that any of us would have mm-hmm. access to were mm-hmm. we to participate
mm-hmm.
if we want an endorsement from a coach, right? Mm-hmm. It goes mm-hmm. through IMG.
Mm-hmm.
You're working over here as an agent representing mm-hmm. the coach in that capacity. Does that mean that you have interaction with a sports licensing organization like that?
Very good question.
How does that work?
Well, the reality is that if an institution makes – the answer is you can allow somebody else to do that work. Because the reality is if someone like us as a third party can negotiate a deal and have enough sliver of compensation in it, 3 points on the full contract balance paid as the coach or the player is paid if you're an NFL agent. And in that contract, there's a W-2, this is IRS now, there's a W-2 and a non-W-2 split. A coach like a big name coach like Coach Bowden, for example, might have made $150,000 W-2 salary, and making $2 million, the difference might have been $100,085,000 of non-W-2, which is speaking, endorsement, television, radio, and all of those things. That the major university athletic programs are set up to do today. And so if an institution makes a commitment to pay a coach X, it's got to do it. And it's going to do it through those different venues, which are compartmentalized within the athletic program.
So it's layered.
Yeah.
Folks, talking with Tom Park here, a guy who has spent his entire life in and around sports of some kind or another, coaching, being an athletic director, and now as a sports advocate, representing those who are coaches and athletic directors through his work with Marty Greenberg, the Game Breakers, LLC. We're going to continue this conversation. Stay with me. We want to get into talking about our beloved Jimbo Fisher. So stay with me for more. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Talking with Tom Park here, talking about the whole business of particularly collegiate athletics. We've seen some of that dramatized of late here in our beloved Tallytown with Jimbo Fisher and all the talk flying around that LSU was courting him. How much of that can you talk about?
Well, I'm very happy.
And not get sued.
No. I do not represent anybody on the Florida State staff.
Okay, so we're fine.
But I have many,
so
many.
Give us your casual observations.
I've got to be very careful with this one because in this town, it's been a big topic.
Sure enough.
I'm personally, Brian, very happy that Coach Fisher stayed. He's a great football coach. He was handpicked by Bobby Bowden. What more do we need to say? Now, through this whole drama with and remember, Joe Oliva, the athletic director at LSU, came down from Duke. My opposite grandfather is Fred Goldsmith. Fred Goldsmith was the head coach at Duke. My son, who was a distinguished quarterback out of this city, married Fred's daughter. And Fred had a lot to do with Oliva getting the Duke AD job. And then Aliva ended up firing Fred, and then this is the nature of the business, and then Aliva is now at LSU. So Aliva was courting Jimbo. Jimbo's got that big agent that I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, who knows what was going on at Florida State behind the scenes, and you know, that's why Stan Wilcox has got a tough job. But but the point is that Jimbo said it himself, Florida State is one of the best jobs in the country. Mm-hmm. And if you're having the kind of success that he's had, and you're standing on the shoulders of a Bobby Bowden, and you've built what's been built here and taken it to another level perhaps, and have the kind of success and continuity going here and the quality of life, and the fact that LSU, if you need to look at the two crowds, and that was pointed out in the media, the number of turnovers at LSU in the last 30 years versus Florida State, which is two, and LSU, which I think was about 10, it's a different crowd that you serve, with all due respect to LSU.
You're working for a company.
It's a different crowd.
And that company and culture has a lot to do with
it does.
Your longevity
it
and
does.
Your success.
It does.
It's interesting to me when I hear people critical of Coach Fisher as to his style with the players. Mm-hmm. Now, this gets into an interesting observation. At least I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Here we have this legacy with Bowden and his style as an individual, and it continues. Mm-hmm. Jimbo Fisher is a different style. He's he's a different personality entirely. So here at the close of the FSU University of Florida game, he's got his arm up around this fantastic running back, Delvin Cook. In the post-game interview there, he's kissing him on the forehead and saying, man, I love this guy. And somebody was sitting with me in the room. We were watching the game, a bunch of us. He said, I wonder if he's as affectionate when he doesn't perform to his level of expectation.
Well, every leader, as you know, and of course coaching, you know, it's interesting, Brian, I was thinking about the role of the head coach today, and it's part their media stars, because the camera focuses on that head coach on the sideline, and everybody measures the body language and what does that mean, and every one of them's got their own leadership style and how they manage and lead those
and with some players it might work. And with others, it might not. So there's that. So with maybe with Dalvin Cook or Francois, it works. But with other players, not so much.
Well, let me talk about another guy that I think a lot of, and that's Jim Grobe at Baylor, who stepped into a very, very difficult situation where he's had to replace a coach that was knocked out less than a year ago, Art Briles, over a scandal at a Christian University, Baylor University, and had to keep the same team, the same players, and the same staff and take over as head coach in June. Wow. That's one of the most difficult assignments a guy's had in college football ever. And Jim is a good friend, and I can talk about that a little bit. And the reality is, I watched the body language of him and the players and the coaches on the sideline through those games, and you can see a lot about what's really going on by how people interact with each other. And if you watch, you know, there was a little struggle at Florida State during the year with, you know, Rick Trickett came under criticism about the offensive line as a sieve and people are running through it. And, you know, he had to endure all that. The players, they got to live with that day in and day out. They got to live with that. These people have pride in what they do. Well, you know, Jimbo spent a little more time over with Rick and the offensive line on the bench than he normally does. There was a message in that, okay? And then he started to withdraw, and that was probably noticed duly. And the reality is that line gelled as the year moved along. And so, okay, look, we ended up, we lost three games. People don't expect that around here. But what people forget is we hold our coaches and our football teams accountable to standards of excellence that we'd never hold ourselves.
And a standard that now includes, where's our championship?
Well, okay. Did we forget about the class we took on statistics that had normal distributions?
That there's
a bell curve and there's a tail. And in any group of excellent whatevers, there's a tail on either side and a standard deviation to the right and to the left. And somebody ends up on the left-hand side of the mean. And that doesn't mean you're bad. And what I would argue and put forth is it doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's got to get fired. And I think the one thing that troubles me about coaches today is the media and the television and the observers of it are so quick to say, if somebody's not perfect, doesn't come up, doesn't win, we need to fire them. And so let me say this.
And so
most of the coaches that you talk to at higher and higher levels will say, you know, it doesn't matter if I have a 5-year contract or a 3-year contract. Well, it does matter financially. It does matter on terms of severance. But the reality is, he said, we all live week to week because we're all judged week to week.
Every day.
And it's what have you done for me lately? And, you know.
And because of the impetus of the money.
Well, and I think if I was fortunate enough to coach 5 or 6 years at the Division I A level when we were very successful at Maryland, and the reality is, and that was decades ago, but the reality is if you're the coach, what you try to maintain is a sense of normalcy, and you try to keep the player's mind on the game and the assignment at hand and doing, as Jimbo says, do your job. He talks about process a lot. And everybody knows what their assignments are, and they're well-taught, well-schooled, well-trained. It's a great organization here that we get to watch in Tallahassee, and it's a pleasure to just be an observer of it.
And a pleasure having you with us. Dr. Tom Park, who is part of the Game Breakers, these guys that work pretty hard helping coaches and athletic directors around the country in their business. And it's our business to bring stories to you from people like Tom. Thank you for being a part of the show today, my friend. A pleasure.
My pleasure.
Having you with us.
Yes, sir.
Folks, that's what we have for you today. We're always happy to have guys like Tom Park who can bring us the backstory on some of this otherwise sort of frenetic way of living, you know, professional athletics, my gosh. But a great friend to have in the room when you're trying to figure out how this stuff works. And it's a big part of how this town works. So again, thanks, Tom, for being with us. We are the production of Tallahassee's very, very adequate Alcom marketing and media and entertainment right here in Tallahassee, coming to you from the luxurious studios of moosemagnificat.com. We are looking forward to having you back again next Saturday. Carl Cerny is our executive producer, and Andrew Rybeck is our associate producer. I'll be here looking for you next Saturday. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
October 3rd, 1863. Our nation is torn in the midst of civil war. Over 100,000 lives have been lost. Faced with the uncertainty of our survival as a nation, President Lincoln declares his faith in God, issuing a proclamation.
I invite my fellow citizens with humble penitence to fervently implore the Almighty to heal the wounds of our nation to the full enjoyment of peace, tranquility, and union.
He recalls the blessings and mercies of God in spite of our disobedience and officially declares the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise. This Thanksgiving, may we find that same gratefulness in our hearts in the midst of adversity and join together in prayer for our nation, giving thanks for our family, friends, and a land of freedom. Happy Thanksgiving from all of us at Alcom.